Pray for the Needham family. They submitted to the government to start 20 new radio stations. And so we need to remember them in prayer that God would bless in that. Let's do pray for the Ronks as they're waiting on the Lord to try to get back to Brazil. So let's do remember them in prayer. Hard for me to think about two different things at once here. Okay. All right. Get my paperwork here in order. Okay, and let's do remember the many that are not feeling well. The Lord would help them to get well soon. Okay. Maybe this is going to be a 2-hour message. I don't know. Whole book here. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Looking tonight at the fifth porch. The fifth porch. John chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 1 here. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. What got my attention reading this passage was in verse 2. It said, Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now that puzzled me. I thought, five porches, that seems like an unusual number. Now sometimes a house will have a front porch. Sometimes a house will have a front porch and a back porch. Other houses, depending on what level they're built, on what elevation, they may have a front porch and an end porch and a back porch. So there's three. Some houses may have four porches, but I was thinking, normally you don't have more than one porch per side. I mean, some houses have the whole side as a porch. I've seen houses where two whole sides of the house are porches, maybe three even sometimes. Just a long porch running along the whole length of the house. But five porches just really stirred my imagination here and got me thinking, why five porches? Normally a house is built in rectangular shape. And of course I realize here we're talking about around a pool, not around a house. So, but most pools, maybe I shouldn't say most, although it seems like most pools are rectangular in shape. I know there are a lot of round pools. I guess I'm thinking of underground. up above ground, mostly it seems like round pools. But below ground pools, it seems like usually they're rectangular in shape. And some of the fancy ones are all kinds of shapes, pools. But so I'm thinking about this five porches, and it just really got my imagination going here. Why five? Well, so I read about this. There was an archaeological dig in this area in the 19th century around the sheep market, the sheep gate here. And this man, Conrad Schick, discovered a large pool about 100 feet long, northwest of St. Anne's Church. And he said that was the pool of Bethesda there. And Brother Steve, if we could bring up that porch. Some refer to it as a portico. And so now I could get the picture more in my mind about these porches. And maybe I can see, okay, situated around this pool of Bethesda was these porticos. And it said that in them, we'll look at verse 3. It said in, maybe we should back up to verse 2. It says, now there is at the Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So if we could bring up that picture again of the porch, or what they would call a portico, I could just picture these, and I don't know what size, the Bible doesn't say what size these porches were, but I could just picture disabled people under that roof and laying in there, out of the direct sun and out of the elements of the weather, just waiting for the moving of the water. And then the Bible doesn't tell us how many steps down from these porches it was to the pool, but you can just imagine a lame man, how's he going to get down there very fast? I mean, somebody should have made a water slide, amen? Now, that'd be a lot faster to get down the pool, but I guess if you're disabled and lame, you might drown in the process if somebody didn't rescue you out of the pool. Now, so they waited for the moving of the water, verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So my mind just kept thinking about this fifth porch, five porches. I just kept thinking in my mind, okay, if it was a rectangular pool and when it was excavated, he didn't say it was an irregular shaped pool. So normally around something like this, you would have four porches. You'd have one on each side, one on each end. And I thought, where's the fifth porch? And I realized I don't know the configuration. In the article I read, it didn't say when it was excavated. I realized you could have a grand pool. You could have five separate porches or porticos on one side. So I do not know the configuration of it. But I just in my mind was trying to think of this poor man. 38 years he had been. In verse 5 tells us, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. It had been a long time. I don't know how long he had been waiting at one of these porches, but he was never the first one in, and he was never the one healed. So I thought about that fifth porch. And just in my mind, applying it, was the fifth porch kind of the place less prominent? I don't know. I have no idea how these porches were arranged. I have no idea if all the porches or porticos were the same size. But in my mind, I'm thinking about this lonely man who needs healing. And I'm thinking about he was not the prominent person. And in my mind, I'm thinking, where was the fifth porch? Was it as prominently located? I have no idea. But this number just intrigued me. Why five? Why five porches? What's interesting is, if you notice once again in verse 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I believe, I don't know, Brother Tim, your dad was in the Navy, right? Were you ever around the Maryland area? Okay. I think there, isn't there a naval hospital named Bethesda? I think, yes. I thought there was. So it's interesting, isn't it, that earlier on in our country, they used to name things after biblical things, like that hospital, that naval hospital, Bethesda, a place of healing. But what I found interesting is in verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. So, Brother Steve, could we see the porch again? So, we think about these five porches. I have no idea what size. Maybe they were all the same size. But filled with people, and only one man was healed. And I got thinking about that. Was that porch in a less prominent place? Or was it just a prominent porch like all the other four? But why only one man? When Jesus healed this one man, why were there not, as in many other examples in the Scripture, a whole bunch of other people getting healed? Notice with me in Mark 5:22. Mark 5:22. I mean, this is why Jesus at times had to thrust out in a little boat to teach the people, because people thronged him because he was healing, and so many wanted to get healed. That's why the roof had to be broken up on one occasion just to get a man down in front of Jesus to be healed because of the press. He couldn't get in, couldn't get near Jesus. Mark 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude, what? Thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? I mean, this is the situation. Jesus had healed so many people that people were thronging him. It seems like a lot of people were touching his clothes, getting close to him. But he stopped because of this one woman who touched him and was healed. Notice also Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Why at Bethesda? Why was only one man healed? The porches were filled with people that needed healing. Why was only one man healed? In Luke 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any what? Sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on who? Every one of them, and healed them. Why did that not happen at Bethesda? This scene of five porches really intrigued me, what took place there. Well, let's go back to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5. You might want to mark your place here. We'll be back and forth. And once again, we'll start at the beginning, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the what? Sheep market a pool. And we read, by this gate was where they brought the sheep in to sacrifice at the temple. And so, the sheep market. Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie have been to the open-air markets in Mexico. Those places aren't necessarily the same standard of cleanliness we would expect in a grocery store type setting. I mean, if you have meat open to the flies, you know, if you went to Myers you went to buy some hamburger, and in the case, there are all kinds of flies flying back and forth, would you buy any of the meat? But you know what? In a lot of countries of the world, the open markets are exactly that. They're buying a lot of foods just like that across the world. And so we find that this situation here would be a place that many people would consider as not necessarily too clean. I mean, you have a bunch of, in the porches, you have a bunch of paralyzed or disabled people. Like with this man, he couldn't even get down to the water himself. He had to be carried. So, you know, a lot of times people like that don't get a bath too often. And it's not exactly a place of cleanliness. It would not be exactly a pretty place to be. Plus, it's this area where the sheep are brought in to the city to the temple to be sacrificed. Then it made me think, why just one man? In this situation, this pathetic situation, why just one man was healed? Well, if you hold your place here, let's turn to Isaiah 53. Maybe it's a picture for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Just highly unusual that the place would be filled with people that need healing and only one is healed. Isaiah 53 verse 6. It says, all who? We like what? Sheep have gone what? Astray. The bottom line is we're pretty pathetic, really, in the sight of God. I mean, we may think we're, you know, fine and upstanding and a lot of other maybe adjectives, but the fact of the matter is from God's perspective in our flesh, there's no good thing that dwells in us. Not one. In fact, if you hold your place here, turn to chapter 64, Isaiah 64. In verse 6, Isaiah 64, 6, but who? We are all as what? An unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. I've got some filthy rags in the garage. Sometimes from changing the oil, they get filthy. Right now we're doing some projects in the basement. They're filthy with stain, you know, the stain you stain wood with. I mean, they're just filthy. Sometimes they might fall on the garage floor, and I mean, they're just filthy rags. Well, we are all as unclean and an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as what? A leaf. Well, we're seeing a lot of leaves fall, and if they're not raked up, they're going to fade. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now that's what we're hoping with the leaves. We're just hoping the wind takes the leaves away so we don't have to worry about them. That doesn't always happen. But so back in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Probably one of the biggest sins of our lives is selfishness. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So maybe why was only one healed? In such a filthy place where the sheep go in, where the immobile are laid for the day, probably not a clean spot. Why was only one healed? Why are so few healed spiritually in our world? Where Jesus, the Son of God, is freely preached. Last night, I was up working on things I was on sermonaudio.com and it was late in the night and there was a guy preaching from India. And his accent was hard to understand, but I could actually hear make out some of the words. He was speaking in English, preaching last night in India. I mean, truly, the gospel is going across the world if people have any desire to hear it. But it reminds me kind of like the porch is filled with people. Jesus is there and he heals one. Rise up and walk. I mean, wouldn't you think some of the other people would hear and say, well, in fact, maybe they would jump up. You know, is he saying that to me? I tell you, if I was unable to walk and someone could heal and healed somebody else, maybe I'd try to jump up too. But only one man, we only read of one man being healed. And yet look at the same chapter, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Maybe this is the answer. Verse 1, who hath what? Believed our reports. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's there with this great multitude of impotent, paralyzed people. But who hath believed our reports? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? One man. One man. So few are willing to listen. And our country, Brother Tim spoke this morning in Sunday school, our country is just filthy and vile. You think of all the blood of aborted babies that's in the soil of this land. Notice with me in Numbers 35. Numbers 35, you think about it. We've got so many people worried about pollution of this sort and that sort. I'll tell you, the biggest polluter is innocent blood. Numbers 35, 33. Numbers 35, 33. So ye shall not what? Pollute the land wherein ye are. For what? Blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. We've sold property at times, and I've had to sign a paper saying, to my knowledge, there's been no oil spill on the property. I wonder if they should have a paper asking about blood. Has any innocent blood ever been spilled on this ground? Because that's a lot worse than changing the oil in your car and spilling a little oil on the soil. This defiles the land. Our country is defiled. You wonder why the state of California faces fire and devastation, and then they face not enough rain, so it's so dry. And then they face a deluge of rain, and then they have mudslides, earthquakes. If we looked into Scripture, I mean, that state promotes abortion. That state's probably the leading promoter of sodomy. I mean, even in the prisons now, the governor has declared that they can put sodomites all together in their cells just to facilitate their vile perversion. The governor's condoning that. It's like the state leaders just shake their fists at Almighty God, and then they wonder what is happening all around them. So the pool here was by a sheep market. Who hath, Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If they would have asked, he was there, but we don't see one other person asking for help. Number two, and back in John chapter 5, the pool was a place of attraction for helpless people. Verse 2, John 5, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Waiting for the moving of the water, verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season in the pool. But who there was waiting for the Son of God? Seems like only one man. Do we see our helplessness apart from Christ? Look at with me in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We as a nation and as a people are so proud. We need to see our helplessness. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Doesn't that picture America right now? I had in my sign, or my yard, four signs. I had Pastor Jeremy's, Brother Johnson's, President Trump's, and then John James. And someone, I think it was the night before last, left Pastor Jeremy's, they left Brother Johnson's, and they stole my Trump sign and my John James. And I'm thinking, that's why I don't want you people in Washington. You're a bunch of thieves. You know, you can't keep your hand. My neighbors can't keep their hands off. It's no wonder people go to Washington and steal our money, steal our freedom. That's the type of people they are. But verse 3, they're living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. They just can't stand it that I have a sign in my yard that they don't like. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So verse 5, it was not by works of righteousness which we have done. Number 3, the pool was a place for hopeless people to find hope. Let's go back to John 5. Verse 3 reminded us that these people were waiting for the moving of the water. And then in verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. You know, I'm sure we would be surprised at how many times angels have helped us and protected us from being killed. I think of some close calls we've had in a car. And I just wonder if it was angels. You know, if you'd turn to me, please, to Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1. God uses angels to protect us, just like He used angels there to bring healing to those people. Hebrews 1:14. Verse 13 shows us that it's angels, and it says of them, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So God with His angels, but God doesn't want us to worship angels. He wants us to worship Jesus. But I find it interesting, back in John 5:7, it says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have what? No man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. The thing that intrigues me about these five porches in this scene is that this man, for 38 years, had been helpless. But his part of his problem, he was looking to man. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Is that not man's trouble many times? Trusting in man. Notice with me in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. You know, sometimes we have that problem. We're trusting in man to help us in something that only God can do. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that what? Trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What we need is God. That's what we need. And this matter about just one being healed, in this matter about we're thinking about salvation, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:13. Why just one man? Jesus was there. Why was only one man healed? Jesus is known across this world. We just got some pictures from the Philippines. We sent two Balak boxes. The Balak buy-in boxes, it's a Filipino shipper, and we can ship gospel literature a lot cheaper that way to the Philippines. And so this one pastor received the shipment of two boxes, and he sent a picture of those boxes, and he was excited about getting them. So the gospel goes forth, but why so few saved? Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And what? Few there be that find it. Going back to John chapter 5, why was only one man healed? Well, what we find here is a very critical spirit. And everywhere Jesus went, there was a critical spirit. He couldn't heal many in this place because of their lack of unbelief. Every place he went, there was a critical spirit. And if we drop down to John 5, verse 10. John 5:10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is what? Not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And you know, that's like, just like this man didn't even know really who had healed him at that point. It isn't that just like people on this earth? They don't even know and give glory to the God who gives them breath every day, provides them food, clothes, shelter. He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away a multitude, being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Isn't that something? He heals a man and they persecute him and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You stop and think about it. To this day, it's illegal to what they call proselytize in Jerusalem, in Israel. In other words, Orthodox Jews still think we are their enemies. Isn't that weird? The Jews have never had better friends than Christians. We are their best friends on the face of the earth. And yet so many of them hate us as Christians. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to what? To kill him. He has healed a man. And they're plotting to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself what? Equal with God. This pool of Bethesda reminds us of the multitude of people that are going to hell because they have a critical spirit. You know, you take any politician that's against abortion. And what does the world do? The world says, you're horrible. You're waging a war on women because you're against abortion. You're against women's health and on and on. Brother Tim had good points on that this morning. They have it just backwards, don't they? They have it absolutely backwards. They have such a critical spirit. If they would realize Christians are the best citizens. You know what? If the city of Greenville would only have their eyes open, they should want churches down there preaching the gospel and singing hymns. What a change from the rock music encouraging people to be immoral and the rap music which encourages people to kill police officers and other people. They should want us down there. They should beg us to come down there and preach the gospel. But their eyes are blinded to the truth. Just like the multitude of people that were here that didn't say, heal me, Jesus. And like these Jews, after he heals this man, they're critical spirits. They want to kill Jesus when in fact he's there to heal and to save. Let's look in closing at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, we may go to one other passage after this, but Isaiah 9. This world, for the most part, does not really see who Jesus is. They look at Jesus as the enemy, not as the Savior. In Isaiah 9, verse 1, nevertheless, the what? The dimness. That's what is upon America and the world. Dimness. The dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. Beyond where? Jordan. In where? Galilee of the nations. You know, they'll tell Jesus later on, no prophet come out of Galilee. But this says, this one is going to be beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people that walked what? In darkness have seen what? A great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Is that not what the pool of Bethesda was? A shadow of death? They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath what? The light shines. But who responded to the light? One. Verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased what? The joy. I'm all for a good economy. But the bottom line is even a good economy is not going to bring peace in hearts. Still going to be the emptiness of the soul. What I'd like to see is the same enthusiasm. I mean, there's Trump parades in Greenville. There's been at least two of them. I saw one of them yesterday going on. But wouldn't it be something if there were the Lord Jesus Christ parades? I mean, every place President Trump goes, there are, seems like, tens of thousands of people. Well, maybe I shouldn't say every place he goes, but every place he goes, there's thousands, maybe not tens of thousands. But wouldn't it be something if you could go preach the gospel like that and tens of thousands would come any place you went in America to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're like the pool of Bethesda, though. We're dirty, we're pathetic, we're helpless. We're just looking to man to meet our needs, but we need Jesus. And so few respond. The light, it was prophesied that the light would come to Galilee, and it did, but so few. Jesus could do there no mighty work, whether it was Galilee or Capernaum. Look down to verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. Who was this light? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is what America needs right there. Now, they don't call any politician wonderful, but when Jesus rules and reigns, they will. He's the Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. And that's what we need today. This whole John chapter 5, these five porches, this five porches just intrigued me. Why the fifth porch? I don't know. I do not know the configuration. Maybe someday they'll excavate all five. Maybe that'll give the answer. I don't know, but it's just a weird number for porches, a number of porches. And it just made me think of this man. And the whole bunch of these people laying in these porches, feeling forsaken and alone. When you give out the gospel and so many people reject it, it's real easy in life to feel just alone and like no one will listen. But what a example for us here with this man and how Jesus came to him. And in closing, let's do go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. What will be the end? You know, the things sometimes that seem like is hindering us, if we will think of Romans 8:28, and if we will think of in all our ways acknowledging Him, and if we will not lean on our own understanding, it's just like Brother Johnson and I was talking yesterday about the nursing home ministries. You know, the nursing homes and assisted livings are still closed. But you know what? We are busier than ever in them. Because now every Sunday we have three. And any of you men or young men, do you want to get in some preaching? There's wide open opportunity. I just saw Glenna this afternoon at Hathaway Hills, the aide or the person in charge anyway at Hathaway opened the door to where I could slip in the DVD, and Glenna was there. And she just wants to thank us for just being faithful. There's so many opportunities. Why don't we take advantage of them? Because it's a work of faith, isn't it? That's a work of faith. In some of those cases, they have more people attending now than when we went there in person. It's a work of faith. Isaiah 61:9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So today, if you're feeling like you're stuck on the fifth porch, and maybe a place less prominent, maybe it seems like no man cares for your soul, remember this man. I don't know which number. I don't even know if the porches were numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but there were 5 porches. I don't know which one he was on. But out of all 5 porches, he's the only one that was healed. And Jesus cares, and it's worth it to sow the seed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, we think about this man who 38 years suffered, but one day he met Jesus, and Jesus healed him. We think about all the other people that were right there. Father, we don't read about anyone thronging Jesus in this situation, begging to be healed. Just the one man. And then, such a critical spirit by the Jews. If it would have been them healed, they would have been happy. But Lord, please help us in this day and age. There's such an unreasonable hatred for righteousness right now. Such an unreasonable hatred for Christians. Lord, help us not to be weary in the journey. Help us to realize that You are coming. And help us to be faithful till that day. In Jesus' name, amen.